The message tonight comes from our second to last reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 that we read. I'll briefly pray, and then we'll quickly consider these words together. But let's pray and ask for God's help. Our Lord, we thank you that you are the Word, and that you are the Word made flesh. We pray that as we consider your Word tonight, as it is revealed for us in the Scriptures, we pray that you, Lord, will give us your Spirit and give us faith, that we will hear you speak to us through your Word tonight, through the Scriptures, and respond with faith and repentance and worship for the good news. We pray for this in your name, our Lord. Amen. How will you respond to the birth of Jesus? This really happened, what we read about in Luke's Gospel. The Son of God, the Savior, Christ, the Lord, was born. And the announcement of his birth is being announced to you tonight through God's Word in the Scriptures. And as the angel announced to the shepherds, Christ is born today. And today is a significant word for Luke, the narrator of this story that we're considering, that we've read about the birth of Jesus. When Luke uses it, he doesn't really refer to a specific day on the calendar. He uses it to emphasize that the present time is the time of fulfillment, that now is the time of salvation, that now is the time when promises made are about to be kept. Today, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born for you. How will you respond to that good news? In this story that Luke tells us, that we read earlier, we see that the response of the angels and the shepherds and those they tell is to worship. We see here in response to the birth of Jesus that heaven worships and earth worships. And that's how I want you to respond to the birth of Jesus. I want you to respond to the birth of Jesus with worship. That's the point of this brief message tonight, to get us ready for Christmas. Respond to the birth of Jesus with worship. So let's begin by seeing first that in response to the birth of Jesus, heaven worships. And just before this, like we read in the order of service, we read that Jesus has been born in Bethlehem. And in verse 8 of Luke's Gospel, the scene shifts to the shepherds in the region. And in verse 9, an angel appears to them to announce the good news about the birth of Jesus. And this is what the angel says to them: "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And we see in verse 13 that announcement suddenly leads to a multitude of angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Heaven worships when Jesus is born. Heaven celebrates in response to the birth of Jesus. In Peter's first letter, he writes about the good news about Jesus that has been revealed in the Scriptures and preached to the church, that it reveals things into which angels long to look. The angels worship. Heaven worships because they marvel at our salvation in Jesus. Remember, there is no salvation, no redemption from sin for the fallen angels, but there is salvation for sinners, for sinful man, in Jesus the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The glorious God, whom the angels exist to worship and serve in perfect and unceasing praise, he became man when God the Son was conceived and born from Mary. And the angels worship. They are filled with praise and wonder. They marvel. They long to look into it. Heaven worships when Jesus is born. That's what we see in the first part of this story. In response to the good news about the birth of Jesus, heaven worships. And in the second part, when the angels go away, what we see is that in response to the birth of Jesus, earth worships as well. In verse 15, we're told that when the angels went away, the shepherds decide to go to Bethlehem and see what happened. And they go quickly, Luke tells us in verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph, and just like the angel told them, the baby lying in a manger. And the shepherds tell them what the angel told them. They make known what the Lord made known to them, that this child is the Savior, Christ, the Lord. And given how each of those words was used in the Old Testament, it is clear that this baby is God. The shepherds and those they tell, they might not fully grasp and understand the significance of everything that they've been told. After all, it would take the church another 300 years to work through and work to their understanding of the Trinity as it was articulated in the Nicene Creed. But they knew enough to wonder and worship God for the birth of this child and what he was going to do. We're told by Luke in verse 18 that all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wonder is a worship word. They marvel. They're amazed. They praise God. They worship. Earth worships. We see Mary treasures what she is told and ponders it in her heart. And the shepherds return, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Earth worships. And what we need to see so that we worship with them is that their worship is all the more impressive when you consider that what they saw appeared to be rather unimpressive. We're so familiar with this story that we can forget that. In fact, the glory of the Lord revealed with the appearance in the angels would have been far more outwardly impressive than what they saw in Bethlehem. They saw a baby lying in a feeding trough. And yet that is good news for all people. The best news the world had ever heard up until that point. The most glorious sight that had ever been seen on earth. But the glory of it, it was seen only by faith that believed what God had revealed about that baby. The divinity and glory of the Savior, Christ the Lord, is hidden and veiled in his birth, life, and death. And yet it's only because his glory is veiled that the veil that separates God and sinners is torn so that we can worship. The Son of God, the Savior, Christ the Lord, was born a little baby so that he might die in our place and save us from our sins. Though he is God in his very nature, he took the form of a servant, a human nature without sin, and became obedient to the point of death on the cross. Nowhere is his glory more veiled than when this baby, all grown up, dies upon the cross, tortured, beaten, crucified. But it's on the cross that he saves his people, as he bears our sins and the death penalty that they deserve in our place. And to those who are given faith to see the glory hidden in the death of Jesus, the Son of God, they are saved from their sins. They are forgiven, counted righteous because of his obedience to the point of death. They are accepted and adopted by God. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe that this little baby is God the Son, come to save you from your sins, that the man who died on the cross is the Son of God, your Savior, your sins are forgiven. You've been declared righteous by God. He accepts you and loves you as his child. You have eternal life. And that's because Jesus rose from the dead into eternal life. Now raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, we're united to Jesus, connected to him by our faith. And when we come to worship, when we respond in worship as those spiritually raised with him and mysteriously seated with him in the heavenly places, when we come to worship, we worship him not only on earth, but in heaven with all the angels. We need to remember that because his glory is still for a time veiled. We see him now in his glory only by faith and not yet by sight. But his glory will be unveiled when he returns with all his angels to judge the world in righteousness. And on that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Some will bow with joy, some with terror, but all will bow. You can bow to Jesus now in worship, or you can bow to Jesus later, but you will bow to him. So bow to him now. Worship him tonight for the good news that you have heard. Respond to the birth of Jesus with worship. Let me say, last of all, by way of application, one way that I want you to do that, and I'll warn you, as the old saying goes, I'm about to stop preaching and start meddling. But respond to the birth of Jesus with worship by coming to church on Christmas Day. There is no better way to respond to his birth than by going to worship him. There will be plenty of time for enjoying fellowship with family or friends. There will be plenty of time for feasting and enjoying God's many good gifts, even for giving and receiving gifts. But make sure that you worship God on Christmas, that you go to where Jesus is in the assembly of his gathered people. Go, because we are told that when we are called to worship, we come to Jesus as we spiritually ascend to heaven and worship with all the angels and even the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Respond to the birth of Jesus with worship by going to church on Christmas, where Jesus is with his assembled people, in the preaching of his word and in the breaking of bread and drinking of the cup. I promise you that you won't regret it. You will hear good news of great joy that is for all people, that to you today is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, like the shepherds, you will return glorifying and praising God for all that you hear and see. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your incarnation and birth, and we pray that you will help us to respond rightly. Lord, we confess that we are completely dependent upon you, and so we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit to move our hearts to worship you tonight and in the coming days and in the week ahead. Lord, help us to marvel at this familiar story, yet to see again the ways that it is so great and glorious. Truly good news for all people. For we ask and pray in your name, our Lord Jesus. Amen.